Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I am 53 years old. When I say that, some of you say to yourselves, I wish I was 53. Others say, boy, he's old. Others say, I thought he was 67. I kind of feel 67 today. For those of you who are old enough to remember, if you ever saw the show Sanford and Son, I feel like I'm walking like Red Fox today. Because I am 53, I started exercising. Found this guy, a trainer, you know, he's like twice the size of me, probably weighs the same, but his expansion's much larger, big arms, big chest, big legs. So I go to see him, he says, do this, and so I do this, do this, I do this, do this, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this, and then I wake up this morning. And I find I can't get out of bed. And the more I try, the more I realize that I don't want to get out of bed. Now, once I'm up and going, I'm okay. Stairs are a whole different story. That's why I'm kind of... And I hear that whole Sanford and Son theme song blaring in my ear as I'm walking around. Because it takes time to recover from these sorts of things. It doesn't happen right away. You just don't jump up and get on with life after you've done this to yourself. In today's gospel lesson, we have Andrew's mother-in-law. She has a fever. Now, the problem with saying, well, she has a fever is we tend to discount fevers in our society. Because you get a fever, you feel cruddy for a while, you have that period of recovery, you get up and get on with life. Back in the ancient Middle East, there's the chance if you have a fever, you're not getting up. Ever. And so this whole experience with Jesus coming in really is a life-changing, if not life-extending, experience. And so she gets up, and she serves him. Them, actually, not just him, them. Now, there are about a dozen different ways you could go with today's gospel lesson because there are a bunch of different stories and components that are involved in there. And the fact that I chose this one might be troublesome to some people because it has this sort of misogynistic twinge to it, where the guys come in, she's laying there sick. Well, come on, get up, we're hungry. Which I don't think is the case, and which I know certainly isn't the point. You know, in stories such as this, they're pretty good at being able to relate to us exactly what was said, and she was never asked to do what she did. She did it because she understood that she had a task to do, a job to do, something that needed to be done that only she could do. And there wasn't any recovery time. It's not like me exercising. It's not like my son Mason who's recovering from the flu today where you feel better but you don't still feel great and it takes you some time to get to the point where you felt before you got sick. And you have that tendency then to overdo it because you're finally feeling good. And then you feel cruddy again because you've overdone it because you haven't fully recovered. No recovery from this fever. She's up. She's at him. At the work. Doing what she knows needs to be done. Work's an important thing. Work's a fulfilling thing. Work's a really neat thing if you're doing something that you know is necessary. If you're doing something that you know is fulfilling, if you're doing something that you know is going to be able to change the aspect in the world in which you live, work for work's sake, maybe it's not such a great thing. When I was growing up through high school and into college, I worked at a place called Camp Lutherlin. Now, at Lutherlin is just a typical Lutheran church camp. They had a pretty large plot of land. It was 365 acres, and we had a ground crew of which I was a part. Now, the executive director liked people to be busy. Working for work's sake. So, one day, after it rained, he picked me up in his golf cart. And he had this big, long, plastic case in the back. And so I jump into the golf cart. He tells me to grab a shovel and a pick. I grab a shovel and a pick, and off we go. And we're driving down the camp roads for which he drives his own personal car, and we come to the first of what was many post-thunderstorm puddles. So he wants me to drain the water out of the puddle. And I'm thinking to myself, self, well, you could have told me, go dig little trenches to get the water out of the puddle because I don't want the puddles on the road. Oh, no. So he goes and he takes the plastic case and he opens it up. And lo and behold, within this plastic case is a transit. You know, the things they use when they survey? The tripod with the little thing you look through, and the stick. And so, for whatever reason, he tells me to go put the transit up over here, and I stand there with the stick, and he's giving me depth levels for which I need to dig the trenches to be able to drain the water. I thought gravity could pull that out to me at some point. And so we did that for 7 puddles. Work for work's sake. Another time, they had built this beautiful picnic pavilion that had running water, had a nice wash sink, and so they needed to dig a dry well for it to be able to drain that water out. And so we had a backhoe. The backhoe would go down about 6 feet, and it was determined, I don't know by whom, but somebody determined it needed to be a 10 by 10 by 10 hole. And so after the 6 feet, somebody who looks a lot like me got volunteered to jump into the hole and dig out the final 4 feet. And so just when I got done doing this and was ready to come out of the hole, I hear that noise of that dreaded golf cart. And as I got out of the hole, he pulls up in the golf cart. And he begins to inspect my work. Now, I'm a great hole digger. It was a nice hole. 10 by 10 by 10. And so, with his hands in a very managerial fashion behind his back, gazing down into the hole, he walked the entire perimeter of the hole. He then looked at me and said, there's some mud down there, isn't there? I said, yes. Well, you should get that mud out of there. I then made that mistake which employees often make with employers who seem a little misinformed. And I said, do you understand what this hole is for? I know exactly what this hole is for. I want you down there and I want you to take the mud out of the hole right now. Do you understand me? okay. And so down the ladder I went, and I began to take the mud and throw it up out of the hole until I heard the golf cart drive away. Then I scurried out of the hole, pulled the ladder out, and took all the rocks and blocks and bricks and everything else that was to fill the hole and began to throw them into the bottom of the hole, because if he wanted to see if there was mud in the bottom of the hole, he was going to have to dig all those out. Because doing work for the sake of work just doesn't make any sense to people who truly understand the necessity and the importance of doing good work. I think Andrew's mother-in-law understood the necessity of doing good work, and so as soon as she was up to it, which was quite immediately, she was there to serve them, to be able to do what she knew how to do, to be able to increase that ministry that was going on, to be able to serve Jesus and to be able to try to make a difference in that moment, at that time, in that situation. And God calls us to be nothing less than Andrew's mother-in-law, ready to serve Jesus. Ready to serve Jesus at a moment's notice. Ready to serve Jesus as soon as we're out of bed. Ready to serve Jesus as soon as the opportunity presents itself. Which then leads us to the question, well, where's the opportunity? When have I seen Jesus? Take a look around. Here, you see Jesus. When you're driving on 101, or as they say here, the 101, they hey, I'm picking up these things. There, you see Jesus. When you find yourself downtown and you pass a homeless person, there you find Jesus. When you walk the halls of a nursing home or a hospital, there you see Jesus. Because no matter where the body of Christ, wherever the body of Christ is gathered, there is where you see Jesus. There is where you're called to be able to do those things that you can do to make a difference within the lives of the body of Christ. There is where you are called to serve. And so you serve by walking out of here and going to the kiosk and looking at that kiosk and seeing, where is it that I can sign up? What can I do? Where can I make a difference? How can I apply my life? Can I go out on the 21st and help out with the Habitat for Humanity build? Can I sign up to be able to help with the new nursery program that's starting up here next week? Can I help out with the audiovisual team as they're trying to expand their reach and what they do to be able to try to be able to not just give us sound here at this place, but be able to put it across the web for thousands of people, well, or at least three, to listen to, because I know of three. You're welcome, Mom. Or you can go down to Grace and you can help out with one of their respite meals or with one of their breakfasts to be able to serve the homeless, because there you serve Jesus. You see, there's a myriad of ways in which we can express ourselves and to be able to send ourselves out to work, doing the work of God, serving Jesus by what we do to help the people we encounter. And if you find yourself in a life position where you physically can't get out and to be able to do different things, well, then I can tell you, quite frankly, if you put your hand a little deeper in your pocket, there you serve Jesus, because that which you give can be used to utilize the gifts of an entire nation to be able to help people in need. There are a variety of ways in which we can take who we are and what God has blessed us with to reach out to serve Jesus. simply by taking the time, simply by looking for the need, simply by signing up where there is something that needs to be taken care of. When we do those things, then we serve Jesus. Because He has empowered us to do so. He has reached out His hand to each of us at a variety of times within our lives, and He has held our hand, and He has lifted us up from those places where we did not want to be, and lifted us up to give us the ability to do things so much greater than we've ever imagined. By giving us His hand, He has given us the ability to change the world in which we live. He has given us the ability to utilize our gifts to be able to make changes that we could not possibly imagine. He has given us the ability as a congregation to grow and serve in ways that nobody has ever even thought about, because there we serve Jesus by taking His hand, by listening to His voice, by adhering to His calling, by stepping out of our lives and doing something that we never thought we could do before. When we do those things, there we serve Jesus. And that is what He asks us to do. That is what He calls us to do. That is what He expects us to do. Amen.